Good morning, everyone. Believe it or not, this is unheard of. John Ellison, our Corps Sergeant Major, is not amongst us once again. He's got COVID this time. Last week he was enjoying himself, and this week he's got COVID. So the bad news is, I'm left with the announcements once again, and the usual confusion that accompanies them, because I've got notes everywhere. So, here we go. Are we ready? Announcements according to me, and I know that you'll feel free to correct. Tea and coffee after the meeting, 11:30. Enjoy the fellowship. 11:30 or 11:45 or maybe even 12 o'clock, depending on how the spirit moves. Lisette, don't pull that face. Tea and coffee after the meeting. There will be no open air today. As far as I'm aware, the weekly programme runs as normal. But you should have a monthly bulletin in your hands, so it should be as printed this week. But there's a couple of things that I did, however, want to point out and to bring to your attention. On Saturday the 6th of May, so this is this coming Saturday, it's the coronation, isn't it, of course? And the coronation is going to be shown in this hall on a big screen. Ooh. So the hall will open at 9:30 on Saturday for you to enjoy the coronation. There will be the opportunity to make a donation towards scouts attending the 25th World Scout Jamboree, which is something that they no doubt will be looking forward to. So 9:30 on Saturday, coronation in this hall on the big screen. It'll be like being in Westminster Abbey. The other thing for your diaries that I wanted to point out from the bulletin once again is Sunday, the 25th of June. And we have the visit of Majors Temba and Nokotula Malobo from the International College for Officers in Sunbury, in the west of London. They are South African officers, and we're looking forward to a great day together. I know that they're going to inspire us. And this is how the day is going to go. Worship at 10:30 here, led by the majors. And they are trying to repress their Africanness. And we are trying to encourage them in their Africanness. So we'll see what we end up with. Worship 10:30 here. Open air, tea and coffee is normal, but that's just kind of wetting your whistle. Open air worship at 12:05. Then a team is being built to provide us, with as many of us as possible, with lunch here in the hall, for then us to have an international or an African afternoon at 2 o'clock. It will finish by 3 o'clock because the majors need to get back to London. So it's in the bulletin. Mark it in your diaries and do not miss this day, because it's going to be a good one. Next, I've had a lot of interest in my Army Basics course. So it's 6 weeks about the basics of the Salvation Army. It's open to everyone. If you've been coming to the army for years and you've been wondering why on earth do these people do this, if you're a soldier and you're wondering why on earth do we do this, a lot of the answers will be provided here. I've printed off loads more of my little posters for them, and I'll be hanging around with them after the meeting. Army basics. No press-ups, no sit-ups, no mile and a half best effort, you'll be glad to hear. The final thing I wanted to announce was you can give via standing order. A lot of people give us, but you know, via check and via cash, etc. We want to avoid checks. Checks involve duplication of work in our Salvation Army accounting system. So we're trying to avoid checks as much as possible. If you want to give by standing order, where is she? Can you speak to Anne Cooper? Can you speak to Anne Cooper? Make yourself known to Anne. Anne will take a list of your name and I'll produce the forms so that you can give via standing order. It's convenient for you and it's practical for those people who, I don't have to say me anymore because I don't count it anymore, which is very good, but to Simon and to Anne, who we're very grateful to, it'll make their life significantly easier. Have I missed anything? I think that was good, wasn't it? Oh, no. There's no sari wags in the morning. Tomorrow's a bank holiday, there's no sari wags. There's no sari wags tomorrow. Yeah, because it's a bank holiday. Lovely. Shall we start our worship together proper? And the band has introduced the tune as they always do. And I invite you to stand as we sing together. I, the Lord of sea and sky. Let's stand if you are able, of course, and sing together. Thank you. Please take your seats. Here am I, Lord. Quite a challenge, really, that we are invited to be God's hands and feet, that He chooses to work through you and me. It's a humbling thought, isn't it? And a massive responsibility. And before Julia leads us in a time of prayer, and we're going to sing a wonderful and simple song, really. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Son of God, Son of Man, Lamb that was slain. Joy and peace, strength and hope, grace that blows all fear away. Jesus, what a beautiful name. We are reminded of what God has done for us. And we are constantly challenged as to what our response then should be. And it is something along the lines of, here I am, Lord.
I'm going to use Psalm 121 as the basis for our prayers. I'll read it through first, and then I'll read it through and we'll use it to pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Let's pray. This psalm opens saying, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Let's just take a few moments quietly to thank God for what he's done for us this last week, and for what he's doing in the world. The psalm goes on to say, happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Again, let's just quietly think of those who don't know God, who can't call to God for help because they don't know him, or who haven't yet put their hope in the Lord their God. The psalm goes on to describe how God made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. So let's take a few moments to thank God for his creation. Then the psalm goes on to talk about God's character, his faithfulness, his justice. Let's thank God for those. The psalm gives us examples of those who God particularly has care for. So as I read this part of the psalm, just think of those who need this touch from God. God gives food to the hungry. He sets prisoners free. He opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. He watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. Lord, our prayer today is that you would give us your eyes, your ears, that we would see those in need, those who you love and who you have made and who need you in some way. And Lord, we pray that we would be your hands and your feet, your mouths and your beating heart, and that by the way we live, by what we do, by what we say, those who are hungry, those who are not free, those who are blind, those who are bowed down, those who feel as if like strangers, those whom no one else is looking out for, like the orphan and the widow, Lord, we pray that you would give us your heart for these people. Amen.
Thank you, Julia, for guiding us through, for prayerfully guiding us through that psalm. Right, I've got a challenge. Let me see. Children and young people, I've come ready. I've got some stuff here. Let me try and carry this. Right. Hope I won't make a mess. Right. We'll put this one away for now. We'll just put this here for now. Lovely. So, what have I got? I've got a jar of... And I've got... Oh, we'll ignore this as well for now. And I've got some eggs. Right, what I want you to do is... we'll just use one egg. Then I can have an omelette for my lunch, maybe. What do you say? So, who thinks they can make this egg float? Right, well, let's give it a go. So, Catherine, you give it a go. Can you make the egg float? Be very gentle with it, because we don't want to poach it just yet. Nope. No, anyone else reckon they can make it float? Felicity looks keen. Felicity, can you make it float? Sorry, everyone, you can't see what's going on, but... No, Felicity can't make it float. Isla, do you reckon you can make it float? You don't know? Do you give it a go? There's going to be a trick to it. No, that's just to dry your hands. Camille, do you think you can do it? Do you think you can make it float? Does anyone else want to try? Hudson, do you want to try? Right, tell you what, I'll give you a lift, actually. No, Hudson can't make it float either. That's a problem, isn't it? I wonder if it's impossible. Let's see. Right, let's get this egg. That was all it was for, drying the egg. Right, so, in the Bible, Jesus says to you and me that we are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus says. And, so he sends us out in the world to make a difference. I think we know what difference salt makes to food, don't we? Everything tastes better with a pinch of salt in it. It brings the flavours out. It makes things taste better. We, Jesus tells us, are to be the salt of the earth. So that bowl, this vase, represents the world, and this is us. This is us. We are the salt of the earth. We are going into the world, and we're making a difference. And we're making a difference. And we're being salt, the salt of the earth. Now, let's see. What? Do you want to come this side, guys? Sorry, you're in the way. Apparently you're in the way. Catherine, let's see if we can make this egg float now. Whoa! Anyone else want to try? Felicity was keen. Don't ask too many questions, Catherine. Hudson, do you want to give it a go? Whoa, yay! Well done, Hudson. So, this is the story. This is the story, really. Do we want to be... This is the world. Do we want to be people that bring people down? Right? That let people down? Or do we want to be people that support people and lift them up and raise them up? What do we want to be? What do you want to be, Felicity? Felicity wants to be a person that raises people up and supports them. What do you think, Catherine? Yeah, we want to be in a world where people are raised up and supported and not dropped and let down. So what have we got to do? Got to go out there, be salt, make a difference in the world around us. Be good people, people that help and support. Does that make sense? Catherine, do you want me to show you? Do you know what? All it is we've put loads of salt in. The density of the water means that the egg floats. The reason it's hot is that salt dissolves better in hot water. That's all. We could have done it with cold water if I'd had the time. Yeah? Lovely. So go and be salt and be people that raise people up and that support people and lift them up, and not be people that just lets them fall and puts them down. Thank you very much, everyone. Hey, Archie, that's what it says in your jumper. Thanks for coming, guys. Enjoy Sunday school, by the way, and I'll see you afterwards. Archie wants more. Martha, can you take Archie with you? Can you take Archie with you? That egg might be boiled now. It might be boiled. It could be a nice little 11 o'clock snack. That would be lovely. I'll put it back and we'll have to eat these today. Where are we? We go to the ministry from the band who are going to bring to us an arrangement of the hymn tune Stracathro, which is associated with the words of Psalm 23.
Thank you.
might be able to see me. All the best things come in small packages. So my mum used to tell me. This is the reading, Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. The parable of the Good Samaritan. On the occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. When he put the man on his donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out two denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have." Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise."
Thank you, Heather. If all the best things come in little packages, what does that say about me? I'm offended. We listen now to the ministry from the songsters who are going to bring to us a song called Jesus Lord. an extract from Harold Begbie's biography of General William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. Late one night, it was in the early morning hours, in the year 1888, William Booth returned to London from a campaign in the south of England and slept exceedingly ill when he arrived at his home. Bramwell Booth, living nearby, was early in attendance next morning, and scarcely had he entered the dressing room, quick, alert, and cheerful, when his father, who was walking to and fro with hanging braces and stormy hair, burst out at him. "Here, Bramwell, do you know that fellows are sleeping out at night on the bridges? Sleeping out all night on the stone?" Bramwell, thus checked in his greeting, exclaimed, "Yes, General, why? Didn't you know?" The general appeared to be thunderstruck. He had seen those tragic, huddled forms benched on stone for the first time on the previous night, and his own sleep in a warm bed had been robbed in consequence. "You knew that," he said, "and you haven't done anything." To this attack, the chief of the staff made answer, first, that the Salvation Army could not at present undertake to do everything that ought to be done in the world. And second, he admits now that he spoke like a copybook, that one must be careful about the dangers of indiscriminate charity. The general broke in angrily on this exordium. "Oh, I don't care about all that stuff," he said. "I've heard it before. But go and do something. Do something, Bramwell. Do something." And then he walked about the room, running his fingers through his long beard and speaking with a loving rage and pity of the homeless wretches forced to sleep in the recesses of the London bridges. "Get a shed for them," he ordered. "Anything will be better than nothing. A roof over their heads, walls round their bodies." And then he added with characteristic caution, "You needn't pamper them." An interesting exchange between father and son, the founder of the Salvation Army and his right-hand man, Bramwell Booth. Responding to human need is a biblical imperative, and it is central to God's mission. William Booth, of course, knew this, and this understanding led him to launch a movement that would reach suffering humanity further afield and on a greater scale than anything that he could ever imagine. So it almost goes without saying that if we want to be part of God's mission in the world, then we need to do something. However, while the why and the how are crucially important, so too is the who. We are called to serve people without discrimination. It's the second element of the Salvation Army's mission statement that we are looking at the moment. William Booth didn't ask Bramwell to find out who the people sleeping rough were. He didn't ask him to go and find out whether they were worthy. That was immaterial. They were people, bearers of God's image. And that's all that mattered. One of Jesus' most memorable parables is the story of someone serving a stranger without discrimination. And Luke's gospel tells us of an occasion when Jesus was approached by a religious lawyer who asked Jesus what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus answers him with a question and asks him what he thinks the answer is. The religious lawyer obviously is well versed in the scriptures of the Old Testament. And he answers Jesus with a verse from Deuteronomy, known in Judaism as the Shema Yisrael. And this is the central affirmation of the Jewish faith. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. In other words, put God at the center of all your being. Put God at the center of all that you are and all that you do. And to this, rather creatively, perhaps, the man adds a quote from Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus wholeheartedly agrees with the man. Love of God and love of neighbor will lead to eternal life. But the religious leader, the religious lawyer, wants to be specific. And he really homes in on Jesus providing a definition of who the neighbor is. Maybe to establish some sort of definition and some sort of boundaries to the definition, and consequently exclude some category or categories of people. So to answer this request, Jesus turns to the famous parable of the Good Samaritan. A man is robbed on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho and is left for dead. A priest arrives on the scene, but rather than get involved, he crosses to the other side of the road. A Levite, an assistant priest, if you will, also crosses to the other side of the road and walks on, ignoring the beaten up man on the roadside. And then a Samaritan man arrives. He takes pity, we are told, on the traveler and tends to his wounds. He puts him on his donkey, takes him to an inn, and pays in advance for him to remain in the inn, and commits to repaying the innkeeper any additional expense when he returns. Talk about love for neighbor. This is serious, serious generosity towards a perfect stranger. But this is the twist. The man is a Samaritan, and we cannot underestimate the animosity between Jew and Samaritan. And Samaritans, to the Jews of the time, belonged to a second-class bloodline and practiced a second-rate religion. Though, as often is the case when there is such animosity, they were also bound by much as well. But just kind of to illustrate the animosity that exists between these two peoples, I've got a map on the presentation. Is it working, Andy? Yeah. I'll have the map then, please. Thank you very much. So here we go. We've got Galilee in the north. Nazareth, well, I mentioned Nazareth because of the Jesus connection, but Nazareth wasn't a significant place. And on the south, we've got Judea, and that's where Jerusalem is. To the south, probably, of the map that we've got here, and where Jericho is as well. But if Jews wanted to travel from Galilee to Judea, they would not take the direct route through Samaria. They would not do it. Such was their dislike for Samaritans. Such was their hatred for Samaritans. They would not cross Samaria. And they would prefer to go through, all the way through Perea and then the Decapolis to end up in Galilee. They would rather double their journey than go through Samaria. Hold on to these ideas. You know, when Jesus tells his disciples, therefore go into Samaria and the ends of the earth, takes on a whole new significance now. So that's just to illustrate the hatred that the Jews might have experienced or might have felt towards Samaritans. And given this assessment, I can't imagine that the Samaritans thought much more highly of the Jews. So, by having a Samaritan as the star of the story, Jesus is making two points. First, that a Samaritan did what the priestly class of God's chosen people should have done. And second, that the Samaritan didn't take the time to verify the identity of the needy traveler. He helped him regardless of who he was. He helped him regardless of the animosity that reigned between their peoples. In essence, the Samaritan had compassion on a fellow bearer of God's image and demonstrated his compassion through loving actions. And Jesus concludes the parable with a challenge. Go and do likewise. So William's instructions to Bramwell echo those words too, don't they? Don't care who these people are that are sleeping under the bridges of London. I don't care why they're there, to an extent. Just do something about it. They're people. They bear God's image. So we too are to serve without discrimination. I'm trying to imagine what people's objections would be to that statement, serve without discrimination. So I've got to be very clear this morning that we are not called to be naive or gullible, or at the other extreme, to be cynical about serving people. Of course, the world has changed since William Booth's day and since Harold Begbie wrote his biography. And I believe that today we shouldn't dismiss as readily the assessment of Bramwell that Harold Begbie shares in his autobiography. Because no, we can't solve all of the world's problems. William Booth believed that the Salvation Army was going to take the world by storm. William Booth believed that he was going to speed the coming of the kingdom of God. That's something that we could discuss on another occasion. And no, and for a variety of reasons, we can't dole out indiscriminate charity. And note that word charity. I think that's the word that bothers me. It's not the indiscriminate bit. It's the charity. In the Salvation Army, we always say this, don't we? We give a hand up, not a hand out. And I believe that we can't do these things, not because we don't care, but because the scale and the complexity of the issues surrounding us limit the action we can take. But the example of the Good Samaritan is helpful, and it's helpful for this reason. He did what he could when confronted with the need of a particular person in a particular situation. And I believe that we too must approach people on a case-by-case basis and try our best to respond to the need as it is presented to us. So we see the idea of a relationship developing here. We don't serve others without discrimination. We serve people that we are beginning to know, or that we at least are seeking to get to know. Towards the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus challenged the disciples to continue his mission and ministry. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you, we read in John chapter 15, verse 12. Relationship and a loving community in the family of God is our aim. It's the whole point of church. We want to see people coming to faith and growing in spiritual maturity. We want to signal that everyone has value as a bearer of God's image, and that ultimately that we can all belong to God's family. That's why we serve without discrimination. True love always shows itself in action, as Paul writes in his letter to the Romans. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. With God's help, we can fulfill the seemingly impossible task of loving as Jesus loves when we respond to our neighbor's need, regardless of who they are. We will sing a very short and simple song right now. It's a Salvation Army song. It might not be familiar to everyone, but it's to give us the opportunity to reflect on what's been said. Help us build a loving world, a new and better loving world. Lay the foundation on Jesus Christ, our Lord. And help us build a loving world. I give you this opportunity to reflect on what I've shared about serving without discrimination, but the importance of that relationship. We don't do unto people, we do with people. We want to see people grow. We want to see people develop. That's why we serve without discrimination. I'm not asking you to go out and solve all the world's problems. It's not possible. But in love, we can show others that they matter, regardless and irrespective of who they are. A simple song, and I've just thought of an illustration I should have used in my talk, and I'm tempted to use it right now, but I don't know if you're like me. But in the last week or so, I have noticed a slight increase in rough sleeping in Felixstowe and down Hamilton Road, and I suspect it's got something to do with the weather improving. The temptation is, isn't it? It's to throw a coin at people, isn't it? Isn't it? That's a temptation. And we feel that we've sorted the problem out. But I always try to speak with people. And I'm not, this is not given to everyone. I've got a bit of experience in it, right? But I just get down on the person's level and I say, hello, I'm Paul. What's your name? And I build a relationship, you know? That's what it's about, building that relationship, and we recognize that in that moment we're fellow human beings. That's why I'm not a lover of this kind of serving others without discrimination. I suppose there's no snappier way of doing it. But that idea of building a relationship with people, they're not people that we do unto. They're people that hopefully we can do something with and try and help along the way. Anyway, that was not what I was meant to say. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, teach us to love as you love. We ask for the empowering of the Holy Spirit to make this prayer a reality in our lives. Amen. Since coming to Felixstowe, I've become a little bit army barmy. And the last song's Army Barmy. In the army of Jesus, we've taken our stand. But I chose it for the chorus. I will stand for Christ and Christ alone. So let's stand and sing together. Have you ever felt like shaking a tambourine? I had never had that experience until just there a few seconds ago. But I was challenged by that song. I really was. But I'll leave that for another time. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of God and Father when our Lord comes with all his holy ones. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow. Amen.